want to begin with a reading in Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm going to read the first six verses. I'm reading from the ESV, just because of the way it translates one of the phrases, which will become clear later on. But it'll be very similar if you have an NIV. So just Isaiah 53. So this is written hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came and lived and died. And Isaiah speaks and foretells and prophesies, and God speaking through him, what the Lord Jesus has come to do. So in Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Well, please have your Bible open in John chapter 10, and we're going to consider that passage together for a few minutes now. There are lots of things that we could focus our minds on today as we think about Good Friday, the day on which Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and we remember that together. But I want to particularly focus now on how Jesus' death really secured our salvation. So I really want to focus on, because for many Christians, there's an understandable struggle with this question of assurance about whether we can know in our hearts that we really have been saved. And Jesus says some things in John chapter 10, which I think are really helpful, tied to the work he's going to do on the cross, and then applied to our hearts so that we might grow in that confidence that we really have been saved because Christ has really paid for our sin. Now, we're stepping in John chapter 10, and it's a confusing passage in some ways, and as we read it first, perhaps, and I'll explain a reason why. But to give some background, it's in the middle of an ongoing interaction between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. There's a bit of a conflict going on. And it's going on because the Jews think they are God's people by birth, and their status as being the people of God is secured by them, by that. But Jesus tells them that's not the case, that God's true sheep are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without faith in Christ, they are not God's sheep and God's flock. And to make that point, Jesus speaks in terms of this picture of a shepherd and the sheep. Now, that's a picture that the Jewish people would have understood really well. It goes back thousands of years, because as the Lord described the relationship that should happen between the king and the people in Israel, the king was often described as the shepherd and the people were described as a flock. But of course, those human kings were flawed shepherds, but the Lord is the perfect shepherd, which is what is taught, one of the things that's taught in Psalm 23. And in the middle of our passage, in verse 11, is one of the great I am sayings in John's gospel. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I want us to zone in on this idea of Jesus as the good shepherd to see how it teaches three things that will help us in our assurance that we might know and really know that our sin has been dealt with when Jesus died on the cross. And the first thing I want us to see is that Jesus knows his sheep. There is an unbreakable connection between the shepherd and the sheep. And to see that, we're going to focus first of all on verses 1 to 6. Now, one of the reasons this passage can be tricky is Jesus is using a number of pictures which are all part of this bigger idea of a shepherd and sheep. But as you read it carefully, he changes illustration as he goes through at points. And that's one of the reasons why it can be confusing the first time through. But in verses 1 to 6, he is talking about one aspect of shepherding. And it's to do with this what was called the sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold was an enclosed space, probably in a village or a town, where a number of different flocks of sheep would be kept. So the shepherds would bring their flocks to the village or the town, and they would put them in this sheepfold. So there were multiple flocks belonging to multiple shepherds, and they were all guarded there by this gatekeeper who oversaw the whole of the sheepfold. But of course, if you're a shepherd and you bring your sheep into the village and you want to go out of the village then when you want to leave, you've got a problem, haven't you? Because as you look in the sheepfold, you have multiple flocks. They're not all your own. So how do they come out such that you only get yours and you don't steal somebody else's and none of yours are left behind? Well, it only works if the shepherd knows exactly which sheep belong to them. And because the sheep have spent all this time with the shepherd, they know how to recognize the call of their shepherd. They know his voice. And Jesus explains that in verse 3 and 4. He says that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then he says they listen to his voice alone, verse 4, and they follow him. They follow him as a shepherd. And the language here in this section is of deep connection between the shepherd and the sheep. It's a close connection. And Christ applies this to himself when he says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So there is this unbreakable, lifelong connection between the shepherd and the sheep, between Christ and his people. They are joined to him. They belong to him. They are known by him by name. And we become sheep because we're known by the Lord Jesus, and then we believe in him. We come to follow him. We come to trust him. We're joined to him. Now, we read a long part because in verses 22 to 24, the Jews ask for more clarity about who Jesus is. And Jesus replies in verses 25 to 27 by saying that they don't need more clarity to believe. They need to be his. And so he says in verse 25, I tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So the key thing Jesus is emphasizing here is that our status as his sheep means that we come to believe in him and follow him. It is not our believing that makes us his sheep. We believe because we are his sheep. Jesus says exactly that in the negative to the Jews in verse 26, those who are unbelieving. He says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. It's not, you are not my sheep because you do not believe, but rather, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. But the converse, which is what I want us to see that's so important, is, friends, if you're a Christian, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because you are his. And the fact that you belong to him precedes that belief in him. You are his, and so you believe. He knows you. You are joined to him by faith, by this unbreakable connection. And that brings us great assurance. It was not even our faith that made us part of his flock. It was that we were part of his flock, and then we had faith. And that's really helpful to see, because it stops us asking one question we can have is, well, did I have enough faith in believing? And friends, the answer is that's not the question to ask. What we should say is, if you are believing today, you are his because he has made you his, one of his sheep, and so, therefore, you believe. Christ knows his sheep through this unbreakable connection. But then secondly, let's see, Christ dies for his sheep. And here we come to the heart of what Jesus came to do. Because there in verse 11, again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he repeats in verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. This is how much the Lord Jesus loves his sheep. He gives himself for them. Now, I know how I said there are a number of pictures in the passage, and he's using different aspects of this shepherding picture, but different specific parts of it. Well, here Jesus moves to a different picture, because in verse 12 and onwards, he starts speaking about the hired hand. And the hired hand would be paid by a shepherd to look after a flock, perhaps in the field. And that's fine, that works as long as there's no trouble. But the hired hand is not invested in the sheep, he's just paid to look after them. So if a wolf comes along, well, he's likely to flee. Why? Well, you're not paid enough to deal with the wolves. You're not paid enough to deal with the trouble. You're happy to watch the sheep, but when it gets difficult, you'll leave. But Jesus is saying, I am not like a hired hand. I'm not watching over a fold of sheep that belong to somebody else. These are my sheep. I am their shepherd. And so, because my sheep belong to me, I will do whatever is necessary to protect my own. And so he says in verse 28 that in giving his life for his sheep, he will give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Friends, here we're seeing that Jesus' death wasn't abstract. It wasn't just a demonstration of his love. It was a definite act of atonement, bringing salvation for us. It was doing something, not just displaying something. It was doing something. Christ says he lays down his life for the sheep. These are the sheep that are his. He gives them, those sheep that are his, eternal life. And friends, as you hear these words, I want you, if you're a Christian, to make them personal and to feel them personally. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ died for your sin. It was your sin, Matthew. It was your sin, Oliver. It was your sin, James. It was your sin, Naomi. It wasn't just sin in general in an abstract sense. It was your sin. And in that way, it was a definite atonement, and it secures for you and for me certain salvation. He didn't just die to make it possible for you to be saved if you have faith. He died because you're his sheep. He has made you his sheep. And he gave himself for you. It's a time of year when many students studying for their A-levels are receiving university offers. And it used to come in the post when I was a lad. But now it comes through email. And you get the email, and you get the offer. And maybe the offer says, you've got to get 3 A stars. And if you hit the A stars, you can get into your chosen university, the one you really want to go to. But friends, if you think of Jesus' death, it's not just that his death made the offer, and then you need to do something. It's not just that his death held out the possibility and then there's something for you to do. He met the offer. He gave himself for your sins. He did everything to secure your salvation because you are his sheep. It was for you. What security that gives us. What assurance that gives us that our sin has been paid for. It wasn't just sin in the abstract, it was sin in the personal. It wasn't just sin in a disconnected way, it was your sin, it was my sin. And the Good Shepherd took it when he died on the cross. As a hymn says, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a savior. Christ Jesus knows his sheep. Christ Jesus dies for his sheep. And then thirdly, Christ Jesus keeps his sheep. Here we're going to look at verses 28 and verse 29. And here the wonderful truth is that Jesus will not let any of whom he has purchased by his blood, any of whom who are his flock, to perish, because he has given us eternal life, and so he is utterly committed to keep us as his people. And in verses 28 and 29, there are two statements that give us double security as a believer. Do you see them there? Jesus says, because you are my sheep, because I have paid for your sins and given you eternal life, verse 28, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, no one can snatch them out of my hand, Jesus' hand. Now, on one level, you'd say that would be enough, wouldn't it? Jesus has all power. But he doesn't stop there. Because look at verse 29. Because we are his, verse 29, not only do we belong to Jesus, we belong to the Father. And he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So friends, if you're a Christian this evening, if your trust is in Jesus Christ, you are held fast in two sets of hands that could not be stronger. All the power of the triune God is keeping you. And therefore nothing and no one can snatch you away. Because nothing and no one is greater than God. When we were living in Leeds, there was a gentleman called Miguel who was playing for the, pleased to hear down here, he was playing for the rugby union side in Leeds. Not the league. The league's a big thing in Yorkshire, but you play some union as well. And Miguel was a forward on the rugby union team in Leeds. And I was doing a children's talk one Sunday, and I was trying to get across this sense in which we are held fast by the Father and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I said, okay, Miguel, come to the front. I'm going to give you a tennis ball. I want you to take this tennis ball and put it in your hands. Now, this man, he has big hands, yeah? He's a big guy. He takes the tennis ball and he puts it in one hand. But I say, that's not enough, Miguel. I want you to put it in your other hand and put your other hand over the top of it. And he did that. And I said, now, boys and girls, try and get the ball out of his hand. Do you think they could? Not a chance. He's a strong man, but he's nothing compared to God. That is how secure you are, Christian, in this moment. Because the Good Shepherd knows you, has called you, has laid down his life for you, and promises to keep you.